So, Adam, how is your are you how's your battle with COVID going?
I don't know yet. It might not be going at all. Still waiting for the exciting response.
Do you still have a temperature?
No.
Have you been coughing?
No.
Can you smell?
Yes.
What can you smell?
Right now?
Yeah.
Nothing specifically.
Oh God, he's lost his sense of smell.
Yesterday morning I had a temperature of 38, and I slept really badly. Like I woke up in the middle of the night feeling freezing cold, and then like woke up in the morning boiling hot. Thought this is not good, so I went and got myself a test, jammed a swab up my nose, and put it in a box, and then by about 3 o'clock, my temperature kind of come down mostly. And then I slept, and I woke up this morning, and mostly okay. So
sounds like you're faking it to me.
I'm pretty sure it's not COVID, but I had to get the test done and all that bollocks. So I'm now waiting for them to respond, so that I can
commence your normal life.
Isolating. Well, it's staying at home. It's not so much me. It's Hayes and Charlotte who've had to stay off school and college the last 2 days.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
And probably have to tomorrow as well. Until I get confirmation that I'm not diseased in this particular context.
Oh. Sounds like you're being a real dick about it.
Yeah.
And then stay off as well. Selfish.
In my defence, today is International Men's Day, and so the least that people can do is stay at home and keep me company.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a reasonable ask.
I imagine Lawrence Fox has had a great day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he has spent it being quite angry.
But then because he was complaining about the Pogues, wasn't he?
He was. He got very, very upset about that.
They told him to fuck off.
Yeah.
Just fair enough, really.
Yeah.
So I've missed this, thankfully.
So Radio 1 have said that they're not going to play the uncensored version of Fairy Tale of New York. Because some people, you know, might find it a bit offensive, especially playing it in the middle of the day.
Are real snowflakes about homophobic slurs.
Mm. Yeah, and so rather than doing what they do with literally every other song on the radio, which is just play the radio edit either all the time or at the very least like during the day pre-Watershed, and that's not a news story, instead they're going to do that, but it's political correctness gone mad, end of the world, this must somehow be a front page news story everywhere.
Haven't Radio 1 played the radio edit for many, many years? This isn't
literal decades, yes.
Well, no.
It's quite a surprise to me when you listen to a radio station and they don't have the radio edit.
Yeah, I believe it's not been a hard rule. And other BBC stations have played the original cut. Mm. And in fact, apparently Radio 2 will continue to play it. So if you want to hear the original sweary, offensive version, you can go and listen to it on Radio 2. And if you really don't care because it basically sounds the same either way, you can listen to it on Radio 1.
I think,
or as it is 2020, you probably won't be doing either of those things because no one's listening to the radio.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you'll instead just go and listen to it on Spotify.
They are at least not playing the Ronan Keating version, which changes the lyric to "You're cheap and you're haggard."
Ronan Keating covered Fairy Tale of New York.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And with Kirsty MacColl before decapitation. She gave that version her blessing.
I don't think that's true. I think she was
murdered. Did it after she was killed.
I think Graham is lying to us.
It was Ronan Keating and
Kirsty MacColl. Which bit is Graham lying about?
The Kirsty MacColl sang with Ronan Keating.
She did.
No, she recorded it with him. Graham's not making that up.
So
that
hang on. I think Kirsty MacColl died like before Ronan Keating was born.
Okay, just because you don't know, just because you don't know history doesn't mean
Ronan Keating is quite old. Like Boyzone was a thing when we were teenagers.
So I said born, I was being silly. In my memory, I think she died at the same time as Nelson Mandela in 1994.
No, well,
that Boys Own weren't really a thing until 1995, because
that would be awful coincidence.
That's why nobody remembers it really clearly, because we were all grieving Nelson Mandela.
So Boys Own's debut album was 1993.
Yeah.
So even if Chris was right, which he isn't, it was still feasible that they released a version together.
Because the solo career would have been...
Kirsty MacColl died in 2000.
What? No.
The same year that version was released.
You know, when Nelson Mandela died.
Yeah.
In the year 2000.
But yeah, hang on. So the reason I don't believe this is because her murder is unsolved, right?
Yeah.
The police started solving murders before 2000, especially of high profile.
Okay, well... I think it's not so much unsolved as the police have been given quite a lot of money to not solve it by the person who did it.
Who did it then, Graham?
It's well documented who did it. They know who did it.
But you're not brave enough to say on the
drugs baron or something. Google it. Who decapitated Kirsty MacColl?
If you can crack this case wide open,
no,
just
you
with
don't
the
need
internet,
to crack it. He's just basically he's paid off all of the authorities. Oh, I'm going to Google stuff on a podcast again. Guillermo Gonzalez Nova.
Right.
I'm still just assuming you're making shit up, but you know.
No. He said.
Oh, come
that
on, Graham
someone
would
else,
make up a much more racist sounding.
He claimed so. He's a Mexican businessman, which means.
Is that actually written in quotes?
No, he is. That's what he is. He's a Mexican businessman. He co-founded a supermarket chain, which is now the third largest supermarket chain in Mexico.
Right.
But he was... I don't think he said he wasn't on the boat, but he claimed he wasn't driving the boat and basically got one of his staff to... Like, they paid him off to take the fall and go to prison for it.
So it has been solved.
Well, yes, you're the one who said it hadn't been solved, but it's been... Well, no, it hasn't. So the case has been closed, but they sent the wrong man to prison because the guy who actually did it basically owns the police.
Interesting.
I don't know very much about Kirsty MacColl. I know she sang the song with the Pogues, and I know she did a version of a Billy Bragg song.
Which was better than Billy Bragg.
It was different.
It was better.
Yeah,
because she sang.
She could sing. Yeah.
I think all I know actually about singing her, detracts from the artistic quality of...
All I know about her is those two things that Chris knows, and also quite a lot about her death.
Right.
Well,
it's a good job that you were here to solve this crime.
Well, I didn't solve it. I read it on Wikipedia, which...
Well, if the police haven't even done that, then you're a step ahead of them.
So, no, I don't think the police want to solve it. That's the point. I think the
but
police
that's their
have
job,
been,
Graham. I don't understand.
Yeah, obviously they want to solve it.
Okay, that's their job.
They have that
which
board
pays
where
them.
They put their unsolved murders on, and then they really want to rub it off and look cool.
Oh, actually, just need to make a correction. The Ronan Keating version didn't feature Kirsty MacColl. It featured a separate Irish...
they're all the same, aren't they?
Instead. However,
there's
I don't
the racism we know.
So who was it then?
Moira Brennan.
Yeah, you were wrong, Graham.
Mm.
I don't think she's in the course. The clue is in the surname.
Boat.
Oh, she was in the Brennans, wasn't she? Yeah. Yes, that's the one.
Oh, that's
the way all Irish. It's the way all Irish bands operate. It's just by the surname.
Mm. It was a stroke of luck that the five brothers that all looked quite different and had very surnamey sounding middle names were born into the Boys Own family, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, yeah. It was.
It's quite an unusual surname as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You owe me an apology.
Okay, for what?
For
a
saying
partial retraction.
You owe me a partial retraction.
I didn't, but it's not to you. I owe the listeners a partial retraction because I said that Kirsty MacColl endorsed Ronan Keating's
version of that line.
And I did say that.
Yeah, I don't know if
she
endorsed it or not. I have no statement to make on that front.
But why do I need to apologise to you for that?
Because I didn't think it was true and you made me feel, you belittled me in the workplace. You did workplace bullying when I said I didn't think it was true.
But your logic behind it not being true was flawed because you said she couldn't have been alive when it came out, even though she was.
Because she died in 1994, the same year as Nelson Mandela.
In 2000, in December.
What year did Nelson Mandela actually die?
Like 2011 or something?
It was all faked.
It's 2000, wasn't it? We just established
because if it's 2000, that would be spooky, wouldn't it? Like,
he
definitely didn't
die in 2000. It was definitely later than that. I can remember seeing it on my iPhone. Yeah, sorry, 2013.
Right, okay, that's fine then. Yeah. I just thought if I was out by the same amount, then
yeah,
I could start
weird,
predicting people's deaths. Like, okay. If I consistently thought that people had died 6 years before. No, not after the fact. Because if I was saying, like, but Graham, you died a year ago, you'd know that you only had 5 years left to live.
I died a year ago, like Nelson Mandela.
No, not like Nelson Mandela, like all the people that died a year ago. Okay. But it's okay, because I'm not calibrated properly.
Thank God.
That's an understatement.
Let's start a podcast.
If you insist.
We added Dave from Birmingham to a giant flaming bin.
Wagwan, me brethren. It's episode, I don't say. 213 of Two Star Podcast. Wow. Thanks for joining us. I'm Graham. I'm here with Chris.
Hello.
I'm here with Dan.
Hi.
And Adam.
Yes.
And none of us have decapitated any beloved Irish singers.
Yeah.
That you know of or
blamed the death on a person who worked for us who inexplicably
only because
his family
I was going to say nobody works for me. That's not technically true.
Do you have a minion now, Adam?
Well, I mean, I don't think she'd appreciate being referred to in that way.
That's why you refer to them as minions.
Well, nobody works for me. They work under me. They are inferior to me, but they don't work for me.
Minions?
They're not really
minions.
Well,
no, technically, like, Hazel works for me.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah,
he's an employee of my company.
Yeah, there you go. So you have someone who she legally has to take the fall if you accidentally decapitate somebody in a power boat.
Yeah. Well, it's just as well that I haven't got a power boat, really, because it would only be a matter of time.
It's very cheap these days.
Much like the e-scooters, like, I cannot be trusted with the powerboat.
I don't think you could decapitate anyone on an e-scooter.
You'd need some other apparatus.
You could. You probably could.
Not just with the e-scooter.
A thing I would like to mention about Hazel is that with your screen, she does look a little bit like a ghost, because every now and again, a semi-solid version of her kind of appears and then disappears.
Yeah, it's mostly because the Google Chat Meet background thing isn't as good as Teams or Zoom. So
Chris,
quite
Hazel's
bad
out tonight.
What?
Do you ever worry that you're going to be on a Teams call like this, looking at yourself, and then you're going to see something horrendous behind you? And that'll be the end of you.
Well, I didn't until now.
And you've got a window behind you. That's a bad move. Yeah. What if a horrifying face pressed itself up against that window?
Well, I've got a window in kind of to the side of me as well. So, like,
that's not behind you.
Yeah,
a crazed psychopath could spy on me and see that I was there.
Yeah, but you see, the way it has to work, that doesn't work, Chris, because it has to be that you're watching the video call, you see the face in the window behind you, you turn around and it's not there.
And then an arm comes out of the computer and stabs you.
I was having a nightmare once, really, really vivid nightmare, and I was calling out in my sleep, going, and Gemma tried to comfort me.
Did you hit her?
No, just at the point, as like, in my dream, I was looking out of a window, and then this face appeared looking in from the other side. And that kind of coincided with waking up and her being kind of looming over me, saying, "Are you all right?"
So the worst part of this for me would be that my work laptop is so crap that Teams frequently operates on like a half second delay.
Oh, you'd be dead before
you
saw it.
Exactly.
I'd see the knife plunging in down as it literally hit my neck or something. So
well, no,
it would be less terrifying.
Better. because you'd think, oh, that hurt. What was that? And then you'd see on the screen the knife going in.
You should talk behind you and
think, oh.
Oh, I've been stabbed. Oh. That's right.
So, yeah.
Dan, if you were going to be murdered, how would you want it to happen?
Would you like a assassination by potato?
I feel like I would want to be an astronaut and someone gets so petty that they sabotage like an entire space rocket to blow me up.
Mm.
So it'd be like really really like in the world's eye, really dramatic, almost instantaneous, and incredibly vindictive, and hopefully over something really petty.
I mean, Dan, you could have said, I'd like to be orgied to death.
Yeah.
I don't think I
death
would.
Death by well, orgy, please.
But is that really murder at that point?
Well, if you meant to kill them.
If the intention
also, I imagine
was...
it'd be quite painful. Because, like, the first bit of the orgy would be nice. But,
yeah,
like,
it would get increasingly uncomfortable
yeah,
as,
exactly.
as you approach death.
Like, are they going to basically grind your dick off and then you bleed to death? That sounds awful.
I'm not sure any part of an orgy would be nice. It sounds...
I mean, I think you'd be hoping to, like death by heart attack or something. Not,
yeah.
Not,
also,
like,
yes,
slow,
I'd be really
slow,
self-conscious
slow penis filing.
Okay, well, you could have said Speedball, like...
Speedball 2.
What's the guy that wrote...
oh, you mean
World?
The drugs?
Yeah.
I assume you meant, like, you know, the futuristic...
Or Aldous Huxley. Yeah, Aldous
sport.
Huxley.
I mean, the other option is, you know, going out like King George.
Which King George?
The previous monarch. When he was dying, he wasn't going to die at the right time, so his doctor gave him a massive overdose of morphine and cocaine at the same time. And that sounds like a pretty fucking
That's
great
basically
way to
a
go.
Speedball, isn't it?
I have no idea. I'm not with down with the kids these days.
So you'd like a junkie to break into your house and inject you and give you an overdose of heroin?
No, I want to be murdered by the Royal Doctor.
Specifically? So you either want to be blown up in a spaceship or by the Royal Doctor. I think you need to set yourself more realistic goals.
No, I don't. I have my dreams, and I will not be parted from them.
We're trying to club together and get you a nice Christmas present of being murdered, but our budget is limited.
Yeah,
that's
it's limited
very much
to
a you
£8
problem,
a month
problem.
From Patreon.
We can stretch
we don't have any contacts in the royal family.
We can stretch to a man with a brick.
Graham, you just need to suck a few dicks and then you'll have the contacts in the royal family. If you're not willing to do that,
well,
what kind of friend are you?
That's probably true enough. And I'd have to suck them in such a way that they felt like they owed me a favour. I don't know that
if you looked really underage but weren't, that would get you in one way, so to speak.
Yeah, but he's kind of disgraced and I think he's probably not on the inner circle anymore.
Yeah, but he probably has access to some really good drugs.
That's
and like, there's probably more than one royal doctor. Like, it wouldn't have to be the Queen's. I'd accept a minor royal.
Oh, so just a royal doctor.
Yeah,
maybe then there was just a single royal doctor, but now there's got to be a few of them.
Yeah,
right?
But Prince Pedo's royal hookup would be fine. That's classy enough.
Can I negotiate you down to a royal orthodontist?
Do they have access to morphine and cocaine?
Well, I would say they've got contact with a royal family. Then yes,
I mean they've got access to dental anaesthetic and nitrous. So
yeah, but I'm pretty certain that cocaine is better than nitrous. If provided you don't have to deal with the consequences. Obviously.
I think nitrous oxide might be a good way to go.
I'm sure you can, in a literal sense, but like, can you? I don't think you can overdose on nitrous. I think
you can probably suffocate.
Yeah. But I'm not sure that's...
That sounds unpleasant.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It can make your brain melt and dribble out your ear.
Through extended use, you could end up with a vitamin B12 deficiency.
Yeah, but again, it's not really getting
which
murdered,
I think has got
it,
kind of long-term consequences health-wise.
At this point, I wouldn't be caring about long-term ones. Okay, right, we've talked enough about mine, so what's some other people's? Graham's?
No, I want to talk more about Dan's death.
Well, on the subject
because I've
Dan's
got
death,
one more question.
Is it legally problematic for me to say that I will pay any listener 2 months' worth of Patreon funds if they murder Daniel?
I think that could be a problem.
Okay.
As the legal department, I certainly think it's problematic.
If I say,
that's definitely illegal.
If I say I will allegedly pay 2 months' worth of Patreon funds to anyone who murders Daniel.
I feel like your concern really should be that if you say this and then Dan turns up dead,
Yeah.
You are in serious trouble.
I'm just going to start walking into traffic now to get in trouble.
It's good publicity, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
We play it at the
trial.
Yeah,
but then we'd lose half the podcast.
Yeah, but...
half?
Yeah, because Dan would be dead and Graham would be in jail.
Yeah, oh, I'd get a phone call. You can be like serial. You can have the this call is coming from this correctional facility at the beginning of every, and then that would be. I could tell you what life's like on the inside. I could get Patreon to shiv. My Patreon money would have to be in snuff, and I think it'd be fine. I'll reform the prison system from the inside.
You'd have to watch lots and lots of porridge on BBC iPlayer to get all the lingo.
Prepare yourself
and see what conditions inside prison are like exactly today as well, except with PlayStations. Yeah. Daniel, come on, that's disgusting. I'm not going to.
So, yeah, but I mean, noise cancelling software has eaten all the farts that I was doing.
So, Daniel. Can we go one step further and go royal
one
chiropodist?
Step further than murdering him?
No, royal chiropodist.
Oh, okay.
No.
So orthodontist is the lowest you would go.
I haven't consented to orthodontist.
Right.
Well, you didn't
object. What about somebody that had a PhD?
No.
What about someone whose surname was Royal and was an actual GP, Dr. Royal? Got you there, haven't I?
Or Dr. Nope. King. There must be loads of Dr. Kings.
Nope.
Would you like to be the victim of a serial killer? In one respect,
no,
your name would
be more
known,
famous than
it?
Me.
Well, that's true enough. But, well, so would a royal doctor.
Nah, no one knows who the royal doctor is now.
No, but they'd be known as the royal doctor.
Yeah.
Like they would become well known because it would be royal doctor. Inexplicably
murders this guy.
Murders man in London flat.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't be.
Yeah, but there'd
be
my name and just his title, and that.
Would be because it would be like what's his face? Who's Diana's butler?
Oh, Paul Burrell.
Paul Burrell. Yeah, like nobody knew who Diana's butler was until she was dead, and he kept coming up, popping up, going like, "Here's my story of tragic Diana."
Other murder methods I would accept: skydiving without a parachute and hitting Paul Burrell. And splatting him at the end. Mm. I'm not sure if that's me murdering him or him murdering me, but
that's murder suicide.
Yeah. That'll do.
You're not being pushed out of a plane. You're being
voluntarily.
Pushed out of a plane and miraculously landing on Paul Burrell.
So is it royal doctor that's pushing you out? He's aimed you really carefully.
Fine.
I mean, that would fit in, like, as part of Prince Philip's ongoing scheme.
I'm happy to be a murder weapon.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, I would never previously have described you as a human weapon, but apparently...
I would.
That is your goal.
That's exactly how I would describe him to everyone I meet.
You've given us some things to think about there, Dan.
Yeah. So come on, how are we going
to adjust our budget for a start?
If you were going to murder somebody, Dan, how would you do it?
He just said.
No, that's specifically plane, only Paul Burrell.
Oh, okay.
I think that I would use cunning psychological tricks.
No, I don't think you would.
No, I would.
I
would use cunning psychological tricks to brainwash Chris into thinking that it was his idea and have Chris do it.
Okay. I don't think that would take much.
I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty suggestible. Yeah.
By cunning psychological tricks, do you mean booze?
Yeah. just suggesting it to him when he was drunk.
Yeah. Chris almost murdered me by wobbling a pallet that I was put on.
I mean, we've yet to confirm he didn't murder that lifeguard.
Yeah,
we've pretty much
confirmed that he did.
That was in the fun before times, wasn't it? When we could wobble people on pallets outside.
Yeah, can't do that these days. And then throw pint glasses across car parks. But yeah, if you were going to do the murder yourself, I mean, you've missed. There's two perfect murders where you couldn't ever be caught, and you haven't gone for either of those. Because I think Chris would confess and tell them that Dan made me do it.
Yeah, but no one would believe him because he's weak-willed and foolish.
I think they would believe him.
That would surely make it more likely that they would believe me.
Yeah. They go, this man does not have the mental competency to have devised this plan by himself. He must have been taken advantage of by somebody like Daniel.
By a brilliant mind. That's when the case falls apart.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Ice knife, evidence melts, yep. You can get away with it. Or you hit somebody around the head with a leg of lamb, and when the detective comes round to investigate the murder, you cook the lamb and feed it to him for dinner. The two perfect ways of doing a murder.
What about then, a leg of beef?
Don't be stupid, Daniel. And then if they do figure out that you did it with the leg of lamb, it's double jeopardy because the detective has eaten it. So that you can't be tried for a crime where the detective arresting you has eaten the murder weapon. I think that's what double jeopardy is.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, the problem that both of those methods have is what you do with the body.
Well, if it...
Well, you're not trying to hide the body.
Yeah, yeah.
You report the murder.
I would just say body is my most treasured possession.
You do it among a self-report, and you go, I found a body!
Yeah, and then they go, well, he's been stabbed.
Ice melts away.
And then, but you say, well, no knife here, mate. So it can't have been me. I don't even know why you'd think it was me.
Do you get blood? You must get blood splatter with an ice knife.
Yeah, but it freezes, and you just scrape it off. So perfect.
It's flawless. I can't think of any.
Yeah.
Any problems at all?
So, have you done any murders this week, Dan?
Nope.
Good, well done. Keep it up.
Have you been murdered at all, though?
Not that I've noticed.
Right.
I have been practicing my necromancy, so it's possible I haven't noticed.
Maybe Adam is in the process of being murdered by somebody coughed at him deliberately, knowing they had a killer virus.
I mean, that is quite possible. We have had a letter from the school today to all parents, basically saying, can you please stop being such twats and abusing our staff just because we ask you to do something reasonable, like not bring your diseased child in.
The problem with that is that children are basically permanently diseased.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, it is specifically diseased.
Oh, okay.
It's like, if your child is ill, that's fine, unless they've got COVID, in which case can you please piss off and not bring them into school also get really angry and abusive when we tell you not to bring your diseased child into school?
I think it's a parent's right to take their diseased child wherever they want, and the government shouldn't interfere.
Mm. I think you've been reading a little bit too much Lawrence Fox.
Yeah.
Mister, it'll take four policemen to hold me down if you try and vaccinate me.
Oh, I saw that, yeah. I mean...
Well, because I shared it with you.
Yes, I think that's right.
I think Matt Hancock could beat him in a fight. I think Matt Hancock is enormously incompetent in so many ways.
Yeah.
But I think he could beat Lawrence Fox in a fight.
To be fair, I think Michael Gove could beat him in a fight.
No, Gove would back.
Michael Gove is 80% rubber.
Yeah, but Matt Hancock is 80% wet blanket.
Michael Gove would just show up and shiv him. Like, there'd be no fair fighting from Gove.
Yeah.
He'd just be like, he'd walk up to shake his hand and just, like, stab him.
I would absolutely believe that.
I saw a tweet, and yes, this is what we got reduced to, just repeating tweets that we thought were funny. Somebody said at the beginning of the pandemic, his wife was struggling to work out which was which out of Matt Hancock and Dominic Raab. And the way he described it to her was that Dominic Raab looks like he drains the company pension fund on purpose, and Matt Hancock looks like he did it by mistake.
Yeah,
I think that pretty much nails it. Did you see the interview that Matt Hancock did after the government lifted their boycott of Good Morning Britain?
Oh no, but I bet it went well.
It's if you ever want to see like 2.5 minutes of a man's soul trying to escape his body desperately while he knows he's forced to stay on camera, it's great.
I kind of weirdly feel sorry for Matt Hancock because he just gets sent out day after day to those interviews.
Because it's his fucking job.
Yeah, but
yeah, but he didn't know his job was going to be hard.
Nobody else in the cabinet.
Well,
nobody else in the cabinet fronts up. They just send him out.
They do send out Alok Sharma every now and then when they really can't be arsed.
Or what's the guy who keeps giving money to his own constituency?
Oh, Robert Jenrick.
Yeah, he's had to come out a few times. Like, he's mostly to defend giving money to his own constituents. Yeah.
You know it's a bad day when they've sent out Gavin, don't you?
Well, they haven't done that for a while.
God, yeah, Gavin's here. Imagine
at Hancock, you know that he doesn't know anything. So he can't really fuck up. It's just like, yes, we're sorry. I'm sorry, I suck.
Imagine being the booker for a politics show or something like that and getting in touch with number 10. They say, we'll send you a cabinet minister. It's Gavin Williamson. For fuck's sake.
No, I think you'd be happy with Gavin Williamson because he actually knows something enough to put his foot in his mouth and make a story.
I think I'd just put a lettuce in front of the camera instead.
I mean, I missed the tub of lard they used on I Got News For You. That was a decent tip.
Is it still the case that Gavin Williamson is not allowed to see security and intelligence reports because he's a known security risk?
Leaks.
That was certainly the case when he was first...
That was because he confessed, didn't he, to the whole Theresa May thing.
No, he didn't. That was the point. She fired him because he didn't confess.
He fired him even though there was... Well, I mean, who knows if it was him or not.
I think perhaps he's allowed to see it now if there's a grown-up with him.
I mean, if you go by that approach, surely Priti Patel should be in a similar situation for that whole virtual treason with Israel thing that she did while she was in cabinet last time.
She's also just got done... Not sorry. Yeah, she's done she's the bullying, not done but she's not going to get punished because she didn't mean to do the bullying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Good luck to her.
They all really are very, very bad, aren't they?
Hmm. Like, was it ever this bad in, like, the 80s or something, or whenever it was?
No, I mean, the thing is, this is like a special kind of amalgamation of multiple governments' shittery.
Yeah.
Like, the sort of late 80s, early 90s Tories, it was all very much the sleaze and the corruption, and which they got, obviously.
They weren't ambitious enough. They just wanted to sneak off to Clapham Common. To have sex with rent boys.
To wank off a Rasta.
Their kind of corruption and sleaze is actually quite charming by today's standards. Yeah. Mm. They just wanted to sneak out and get a blowjob in a bush.
Frankly, I can relate to that.
They weren't all spectacularly incompetent. Like, they didn't, you know, some of them had redeeming qualities in terms of them being capable of doing their jobs, even if they were doing so in a malicious way because their policies were awful. Whereas this lot, there's not even though the malice is there, they lack the competence to implement the malice, and the malice that is being implemented is mostly accidental.
Mm. Apart from the massive misuse of public funds.
Oh yeah. Well, obviously the corruption's intentional. Incidentally, have you seen that Boris Johnson is spending £16 billion so we can have laser guns
to shoot hungry children,
so we don't run out of ammo
to shoot the hungry children with?
I mean, that wasn't specified, but the implication was we can just keep shooting forever because of the laser guns.
Are laser guns more environmentally friendly than bullet guns?
I mean, not if you shoot trees with them, no.
But is that the spin? Is we're really investing in renewable technology? We're going to have solar-powered laser guns rather than bullet guns?
Well, I mean, if it was solar-powered, then yes, obviously, and they'd have lower emissions than a regular gun.
Well... There you are, then.
No nasty combustion byproducts.
This is the kind of gun that the Green Party wanted. I don't know why they're complaining that we're spending £16 billion on... £16
billion
extra.
To be fair, the £16 billion is all on laser guns. They're also spending some of that money on whatever they're calling their Space Force equivalent, and also, I think, some more boats.
So before we...
making me feel sad.
Yeah, I was going to say, before we go to... far into this and become sad.
I'm starting to feel sad now. Can we go back to talk about Murdering Dan? Because that I enjoyed a lot. I've actually got some stuff to talk about this week. The boring thing is that my old job have contacted me to try and see if I will work for them again.
Oh, which old job?
The old job where I worked before in the current role. So Dorset County Council have said we would like an agency worker to come and do some work for us. And are you interested? Yeah.
Devon is a better county than Dorset.
Devon is a better county than Dorset.
Yeah, Dorset is a poor man's Devon. And Devon's a poor man's Cornwall, so you're in a lot of trouble. But then Somerset is a poor man's Dorset.
Yeah, it could be worse. Yeah, in the league table of the West Country, would you count any other counties apart from those four?
Yeah, Wiltshire.
Would you count Wiltshire? What about Hampshire?
Hampshire, West Country, you get fucked.
It goes quite a long way west, east. It borders. It goes a long way east.
It dips its toe in the West Country, but it's definitely not West Country.
So you count Wiltshire. What about Avon? It's not a real county, is it?
I don't recognise that as a county.
No, I don't recognise it as a county either.
This is a shame that this isn't being recorded, isn't it? This is good chat.
I mean, it might still be being recorded. That's the thing. It's still wibbling along.
Anyway,
let's worry about that later. So
we're doing the important task of ranking the counties of the West Country. So
there are five West Country counties recognised:
Somerset, Dorset, and Wiltshire. What's your Dan? What order would you put them in?
Well, hang on. You need some, like, just in how much Dan likes them, his personal preference, or.
Dan, you can choose the order and you can also choose the method of ranking.
All right. Cumberland, Mercia, Northamptonshire.
Okay. Daniel, if you're not going to play our game properly, then just don't bother.
Cumberland is absolutely as far west as Hampshire. And Isle of Wight is as far west as Hampshire. So I don't know what you guys are complaining about. And the old Kingdom of Mercia
none of them are
Welsh territory.
I don't know why you always spoil our fun games, Daniel.
I'm taking it seriously.
Gloucestershire have an honourable mention in the West Country? I feel like it should be.
Because Gloucester is West Country.
Okay, so Gloucester, they have a pig named after them. Is that enough to qualify them?
I mean, it's further west than Wiltshire.
Yeah. Gloucestershire is 100% West Country.
I mean, I was kind of reluctant to accept Wiltshire. I was happy with just the four.
Okay, so you're a purist.
So, yeah.
So what are you putting at number... Well, okay, let's discount Gloucestershire and Wiltshire because they'd be fifth and sixth anyway because they're bullshit.
Yes, actually, I'd like them both in to ensure that Dorset is not bottom of any of these lists.
So Dorset can be fourth.
Okay, so I've got one. Hang on. So Gloucestershire and Wiltshire are in here. Cornwall
and they're just joint last.
Not on this list. Cornwall, Devon, Dorset, Gloucestershire, Somerset, Wiltshire. That's an indisputable
which
order.
Which direction was that in?
From top to bottom.
Well, that was from left to right.
Is it from left to right? Is it exactly from
I don't know.
Left
what,
to right?
I don't know what you said.
Cornwall, Devon, Dorset. That kind of pans out. Somerset and Dorset.
No, Somerset's northwest of Dorset.
Yeah.
Dorset.
So Cornwall, Devon, Dorset, Gloucestershire, Somerset, Wiltshire. There's no way you can dispute this when you know how I've ranked them.
You think Gloucestershire is better than Somerset?
No, I don't. I don't think they're
better. Oh, you did it alphabetically?
Alphabetically, yes.
The purest form of ordering.
That's the first ordering, yeah.
Yeah. Then in terms of how many times you've been drunk in them.
Well, I think for me, Dorset must be top of that.
I think probably for all of us, Dorset would be top of
that. Probably for all of that, yeah.
No, I've probably been drunk way more times in Somerset than I have in Dorset.
Oh, wait.
What have you been doing in Somerset?
Bath is in Somerset, isn't it?
Bath and Avon.
But you weren't counting that?
Yeah, so Bath's not present in the West Country.
It's just the gap in the map.
It's like the
100% is.
Do you think it's an enclave of not the West Country?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Bath is
So Avon is like the equivalent of Gibraltar. It's not part of the West Country.
Yeah.
I've also been drinking on in Bristol, which is also in Somerset.
Bristol, I would give you in Somerset, yes.
Yeah. So, no, I think I've drunk more times in Bristol than I have in Dorset.
Okay. So I'd say it has to be Dorset first for me, then Cornwall, and then I guess Somerset. I'm not certain I've ever been drunk in Devon. That's an interesting fact, isn't it?
I'm sure you must have been. Isn't it? You've just gone straight through.
Haven't you been to somewhere in Devon and had posh cream teas and champagne and shit?
I'm not a Tory like you, so no, I haven't.
You will have been on a train to Cornwall.
No, I've never been on a train to Cornwall.
Or a bus to Cornwall. And you would have drunk on the way?
No, I was.
You have, so you big fibber. You've been drunk in Devon. I was there.
Oh, Exeter's in Devon.
Exeter's in Devon, but also another time.
When?
Episode 7 of this podcast.
Oh, Torquay, yeah. No, I wasn't drunk.
Oh, Torquay's in Devon. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was on heroin.
Okay, I've got one for you.
Yeah.
So this is an order so this order is Somerset.
Mm-hmm.
Rare to see them top of a list. Somerset, Devon, Dorset, Cornwall, Wiltshire, Gloucestershire.
Play it. How many? Is it related to how many times you've been to them on holiday?
No, it is in relation.
Is it how many times you've masturbated in each of them?
No, it is a ranking of the quality of a certain product.
And give me the order
cider.
Dan's got it.
Cider.
So I think Somerset cider is the best.
Yeah.
Then Devon, then Dorset, then Cornish, then Wiltshire, then Gloucestershire.
Okay. I've got a ranking.
I'm not sure about Devonshire cider.
Do you think it goes lower?
Yeah.
Where would you place it?
I would probably go Somerset, Cornwall.
No, you'd put Dorset. Come on. Dorset is second if Devon isn't.
No, it's Cornwall.
What have you got against Devonshire cider?
Well, Chris likes it, therefore I can't, obviously.
The important thing is we recognise Somerset is the best for cider.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't think I could venture an opinion. Well, none of it is Irish, is it? So, like delicious Bulmers. Okay, I've got a ranking for you.
Okay.
Cornwall, Dorset, Somerset, Devon, Gloucestershire and Wiltshire equal last.
Is it the amount of fish you've caught in each of them?
How many fish do you think I've caught in Cornwall?
One more than Dorset.
So
yeah,
what?
Actually, that's true. I've never caught a fish in any of those counties.
Okay. Is it how many times you've tried to catch a fish in each of those counties?
No, it's unrelated to fishing.
Is it how many times you've tried to sell a military submarine to the Canadian Navy in each of those counties?
No, because as we discussed earlier, I was in the city-state of Bath.
Okay.
And that is classified information, Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already sunk. It's not really a problem.
It's the order of how good their format of cream tea is.
I thought that might be what you were suggesting, but then I thought that your order was so.
So is Cornwall cream first, jam second?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're wrong and they suck and we should chop the county off and chop them in the sea.
Then Dorset, which is turning it into a sandwich.
Extremely pro.
You just saw Dan do that once in Dorset.
It's a Dorset cream tea.
I genuinely think that everybody thinks jam first, then clotted cream on top is the right thing to do. But
no, it is genuinely contentious.
Everybody thinks that the other counties do it the other way around.
The problem is that some counties have really shit jam that's runny and horrible, and you sort of drizzle over the top like some weird.
Yeah, you need a nice thick jam.
Yeah, and therefore the thick jam has to go on first because you can't spread the jam over the cream, but you can spread the cream over the jam.
So
are you disabled? I mean, what the fuck are you saying?
If the jam is too thick and too sticky, it will stick to the knife better than it sticks to the cream. So you'll end up just swiping off
I've heard you say.
A bunch of clotted cream.
That is whereas if you put jam
on the scone, then you've got you're sticking the clotted cream to the scone, and that's amazing.
I'm not sure I want to be Dan's friend anymore.
I
you just stab at it with your knife like a little monkey.
I'm happy to end friendships over this. You guys are wrong, and you're stupid, and so, I hate you.
Completely lost your mind.
Cornwall does have good clotted cream.
This is true.
That's a big factor. I think the other counties might actually use Cornish clotted cream.
Oh, of course they would, yeah.
Yeah, Cornish clotted cream is excellent.
Yeah, you wouldn't dare try and make your own. It'd be foolish.
So, I think Cornwall's definitely top. That's not controversial.
Yeah.
Why have you then gone Dorset, Somerset, Devon?
Because Dorset, you make it like a sandwich, and while I think that is stupid, it gives me happy memories of Dan doing that in a church. And then Somerset, I don't know what the fuck they do there, but it's going to be better than putting the jam on first, like an idiot in Devon.
No, you're meant to put the jam on first. That's the best place.
No, it's stupid.
See, Chris, you agree with me.
No, stupid.
I didn't understand anything you were saying about the knife and the...
You put the jam on first. That's
yeah, you meant to put the
message.
Jam on first.
Yes.
No, you're not. You do that if you're stupid.
No, you're definitely meant to put the jam
on
first.
Googled
that's the correct
cream tea
way.
Ordering, but it's just making me order them to come to my house. Cream tea layer order. Right. U.co.uk. The correct order to put jam and cream on your scones and... Just before I continue, none of us are saying scones, are we?
Hang on. No, you're wrong. So with the Cornish method, the warm scone is split in two, then spread with strawberry jam, and finally topped with a spoonful of clotted cream.
The correct way, yes.
Yeah. Whereas in Devon, the shitty yes, the method is to split the scone in two, cover each half with clotted cream, and then add the jam on top.
The
so
incorrect
Devon,
way.
Being shit, does it wrong.
Well,
right.
I retract everything I said in the last 5 minutes, except when
excellent.
I was being mean to Daniel.
And I bet that Dorset does the opposite of Devon just to be difficult, just to create the tension. So they agree with Cornwall. The enemy of my enemy is my friend type thing.
Jesus, do you want to see how fucked this country is? So the Village Hotel chain have done an important market research survey, and they asked... In what order should it be done? 52% of the UK population said that you should put the jam on first. That's why Brexit happened. Well, no, not really, because 25% said the cream should be done first, and then 19% said they didn't give a fuck.
Well, actually, so that's a clear win then. That's a really, huge mandate for the correct way.
Absolutely. Batshit country. I'm ashamed to live here.
Would you like to know the place I had the very worst cream tea?
Is it anywhere that serves it with butter rather than cream?
Oh no, I've heard this, and you're right. This is
not sure if there was butter on it, but it was in Kent, and it was a fruit scone, which let that slide if the other bits are correct.
No, that's a fair allowance.
Then it had a very meagre amount of strawberry jam. And then it had whipped cream on top.
But worse than that, it was squirty cream, wasn't it?
Yeah, squirty cream. Oh. Yeah. And much worse than that, it was a scone that had been frozen and microwaved, so then all the squirty cream just melted and slid off. That is awful, isn't it?
I think the Yorkshire method of splitting the baby is the best one, and you have two scones, one with cream on first and one with jam on first.
Yeah, that's
right. In my team West Country, that's the Yorkshire cream tea, because I lived in Yorkshire.
There's a variation called Thunder and Lightning, which is the same thing, but you substitute the jam with honey or syrup.
What? No. I think... Even though we are diametrically opposed on the jam and cream layer orders, I will stand united with you that honey can fuck off. Not
I like honey in general, but not on
bees and their twats. No, if you're putting honey on a scone, then you're worse than a paedophile.
Fair enough. I appreciate your strength of feeling in the matter.
Yeah.
Do you have an opinion on this, Adam?
I have no opinions whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
Just on scones.
Not on anything at all.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Smart.
Must be a peaceful life to live.
Yeah, it's nice.
I am pioneering, and I say pioneering, I mean I have thought of but never tried, the savoury cream tea, which is a cheese scone with Philadelphia and then a tomato chutney.
Sounds...
In whichever order you please.
I would prefer some other form of chutney because I don't generally like tomatoes, but no, that sounds nice.
Or what about, like an onion relish or something?
Well, onion relish would be lovely.
Nice, yeah. Wouldn't it? I think that's
nice, like cheddary scone. That'd be great.
That could be my million-pound idea, but I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
At what point does the amount of things you change render it no longer a cream tea?
What is a cream tea?
I will accept other forms of jam, like raspberry jam. Fine.
Does that count as another form of jam? It's just different flavor. We're not talking about states of matter here. It's just a different flavor.
No,
should be strawberry jam. Yeah. I think raspberry jam, you'd say, okay.
Blackberry jam or something.
You'd say raspberry jam isn't pure, but it's nicer than strawberry jam.
So your savory cream tea, it's not really a cream tea in the way that you would say a white pizza is not really a pizza.
Oh yeah.
It's not a pizza, but you're calling it a savoury cream tea. It's something slightly different.
If you bought a cream tea and they came out with cream cheese and chutney, you would absolutely throw it in their face.
Oh yeah.
So what is the bare minimum to make a cream tea? Because I think this is much more easily defined than
scone,
pizza,
jam, cream.
Yeah.
Scone,
I would go as far as to say scone traditional jam. Like if you try some bacon jam shit or chili jam.
It needs to be sweet jam.
But to make it a savoury one, it still falls under the cream tea blanket circle. Umbrella makes sense.
I mean, I would say...
And that would be like a chutney.
I would say you're absolutely totally... traditional is a plain scone, and clotted cream and strawberry jam.
What about an Indian cream tea, which is papadom with some melted paneer and mango chutney?
Would it not be a naan bread?
Naan bread would make more sense, yeah.
Or roti.
And then you can have a Chinese cream tea, which is... a pancake with duck and oysters.
And maybe some cucumber to lighten it up.
Yeah, just if you're feeling fancy. Italian cream tea, which is a sort of doughy base with cheese and a tomato-based sauce.
An Australian cream tea, which is prawn on a griddle cake.
Surely the Australian cream tea is just a can of VB.
Yeah,
that works too.
So what would you have as your drink with the savoury cream tea? Because a cream tea, obviously it's a cup of tea with it.
Just tea with salt in it.
I feel you would go with something like a herbal tea or a fruit tea.
No, I don't think you'd need tea at all.
Get out of my cafe, sir.
I think if you're going to do that, you'd have to have, like, wine.
I think a
wine would work with the
pint of bitter.
A crisp, refreshing Chablis.
No, I don't think a pint of bitter. I don't think beer really works with it necessarily. I think wine would work better.
Mm.
Cheese and beer are pretty great.
I mean, yeah, beer works with a lot of things. But if we're talking like you could have something other than tea with your cream tea.
Well, no, not really.
I have it with coffee, but I hate myself for it.
Yeah,
I have it with coffee, and I know that I'm not really doing it properly.
Okay, you've both just rendered all of your opinions on the matter completely invalid.
No, because I'm not saying you should have it with coffee.
No, I fully accept that what I do is wrong.
I would prefer to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike you, who's stabbing away is.
Yeah, but lots of paedophiles fully accept that what they do is wrong.
It's okay.
But they do it anyway, and it's awful.
That's because
this is the same. You're pedoing cream teas.
I don't know. I am.
You absolutely are.
I never thought about those terms.
You've spoiled that lovely.
No, I haven't. I've given Graham some valuable food for thought about the virtues of the right thing in the right place and the wrong thing not in the right place.
Okay, next week I'm going to have a savoury cream tea.
Ooh.
Good.
With a sweet cream tea for pudding.
I'm having a lovely time. Nice. We haven't even got to any content yet.
Oh, do you want to do some content?
I have got some content.
Okay.
Let's get it.
Give us your content, Chris.
Okay. Graham.
Hello.
What's the biggest man you've ever seen?
I don't even know why you'd consider asking me that. That's just offensive.
Is it The Rock?
I haven't ever seen
it. No, he has to see it in person.
Oh, in person. Okay.
Yeah, that's the rules, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know. It's classified information. I wouldn't feel comfortable talking about it on a recorded medium.
All right. Fine. That was my throwaway one. Right.
Okay. It wasn't a great start, but carry on.
Okay. So I think we should talk about fulfilling our Patreon commitment.
Yeah.
Because, Graham, you've done some research.
Yeah, I found a phone number to call.
We are now in the position where we do have a phone number that we could call at a time of our choosing to shriek at someone.
Did it using my investigative skills?
Yes.
Oh, God. Do they have an electoral role in America?
Yeah, we've been through this. It's much, much more comprehensive than what you can find out in Britain. But I haven't found out where she lives or anything, because that's going a bit too far. I found the phone number.
Just found a phone number, yeah.
Yeah.
Just a casual search. It took 12 hours and...
It took 12 minutes. I think I would save it for a special occasion, like when the apocalypse is over and we're allowed to get together again and get really drunk.
Mm. What about Thanksgiving?
Is that this week or next week?
It's next week. It's the 26th.
Because that's...
That would be the least appropriate time to randomly call someone and shriek at them.
Well, I think so as well.
Well, no, we could give thanks. Work
phone number.
We could give thanks for the Patreon money.
She wouldn't be at work
on Thanksgiving.
But also,
we could literally give our thanks. Well, hang on, Thanksgiving.
This is a work phone number that might be recorded.
I assume that there would be an answer phone message.
No. As in for training and lawsuit purposes.
Recorded for training purposes.
Yeah, no, I'm not recording somebody I'm not shrieking at somebody on an answer machine.
No, I think Dan just means that with it being a legal office, they record all of their calls so that they can show them in court.
I think they probably don't on account of attorney-client privilege. They probably specifically don't record every call.
Well, I mean, you'd record calls to the reception number where people ring up and yell abuse at you and threaten you and shriek at you. You know, that would be the important place to record your calls. Obviously, you have to. Actually, I don't know, because I think in the US, like in some states, you don't have to tell people when you're recording their calls. In other states, you do.
Yes.
Whereas I know here, you have to tell people that you're recording their calls.
Single party consent.
Yeah. Which isn't.
And that's not a thing for you, Daniel. Oh, Daniel's not here. I think that's a good thing. He doesn't.
Sorry, I am here. I'm just stroking the cat.
Oh, God.
That's Dan's new euphemism.
Well, I just think we. We have the upper hand. We now have the ability to fulfil our Patreon commitment.
Yeah,
I just feel I have to say that possibly calling somebody up and harassing them at work is not the best way.
No.
You think it's better?
Somebody has paid us.
To do that.
I mean, and if we don't do it, we're in breach of contract.
Yeah, and we'll have to give all the money back.
Oh, it looks like my internet connection did go down.
So I don't want to have to give the money back. I, like you, Adam, would prefer to be able to call her at 2 in the morning on her home phone because I know she'll be in there. But needs must, I'm going to have to call her at work. And maybe like a paralegal might answer or something.
Can you give them a quick shriek and then ask for the right number? Or
I'd like to give them a preview, yes.
Yeah, that seems sensible.
Well, can you give me a summary of what you'd like to tell them?
Yes. May I ask what the call is regarding?
Just a little shriek.
Start a shriek.
I think that we're now in quite a good negotiating position to say we don't want to call you at work if you don't want us to. But
well, the whole thing is just like, actually an extortion scheme.
We could do, because we want to fulfil the commitment, the solemn vow that we've made to phone you up and shriek at you at a time of our choosing. But let's try and negotiate this. You can give us the phone number of a burner phone, and you can provide us with 5 or 6 convenient times.
No. I'm not choosing from a time slot.
No. We had this discussion previously, and if you remember, we agreed that the best thing to do was to do that, to basically be given a list of like random times that were appropriate, and we pick one at random. And then
I'm not calling it.
That way,
those would be specific times I would not call.
But then that way, you know that they are available, and also not going to launch any kind of, you know, legal action against you.
I think we want to call somebody up at a time of our choosing, in the most respectful way possible. Given that they are basically our boss.
That's insane. I want to shriek, and also I think, when she least expects it. And when would she least expect it? I would say in 40 or 50 years.
That's a very good point. We didn't put a time limit on when we would phone.
One day she'll get a phone call.
That's a very clever legal loophole. If she were to sue us and say, I want my Patreon money back because you haven't phoned me up at a time of your choosing, and shrieked at me, we can say, well, it's at a time of our choosing, and we're choosing to not do it until 30 or 40 years away, or more or less. It's our choosing. It's our choice.
If one of us dies before we do it, then we'll refund her Patreon money.
That's
what we have to, won't we?
So that's her motive to kill Daniel.
So, Dan, on this basis, as also... the company accountant, you're going to have to plan this into our future finances to ensure that we have sufficient investments to make the repayment should it be necessary.
Whoa. I am legal, not finance.
I mean, they're basically the same.
He's not allowed to be in charge of the money.
I'm in charge of the money because I'm legal, but I'm not in charge of counting it or knowing how much there is. That's how these systems work.
So the money's held in a blind trust from Dan.
Yes,
my paper.
Blind in every sense of the word.
Could we set ourselves up as some kind of legal entity whereby you don't need all four of us to be the two-star podcast?
I already have. I am the two-star podcast, the sole legal entity.
I can register a limited company in our name, but it does require you to file accounts every year, Chris.
Don't you have to pay like £10
or something? Graham, that would.
Yeah,
that,
well, it's more slightly more than that, but yeah, it's not a one-time fee to register the company. It's the ongoing, stuff is the problem.
Well, I mean,
I'm
I think
paying tax on our earnings.
I think
I'll say it out loud on here. I'm not paying tax on it.
I think if we put the potential that Dan might meet an untimely end in order for somebody to claim back their Patreon money.
I mean, should we put it in...
Should we
add it to the Patreon as a caveat that given this week's discussion, there is a non-zero chance that Dan will be dead well before we can fulfil the Patreon obligations? And unfortunately...
you don't get your money back.
Well, it's not the money... It's the money back, you see. It's not... This one isn't even my concern. My concern is the higher pledge tier. Because that specifically requires Dan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, to be clear, it does not specifically require Dan, and we've made it very clear that it's not.
It specifically does not require Dan, in fact.
But just by coincidence, it might.
Dan might be in the park when you
are. Yeah, but he won't be if he's dead.
I mean, it certainly doesn't require Daniel to be alive. Like, you could just send the corpse.
Jesus Christ, Dan. No one's going to pay for that.
Wait. This could be the tip to getting David Cameron to be a Patreon.
Imagine being able to lower the tone on a podcast I'm on. He's managed it twice. I think
I'm with goals, Graham. I have things I want to achieve, and I'm achieving them. I'm forging ahead and doing it my own way.
Well, so, if you like what you've heard tonight and you would like us to phone you up and shriek at you, you can
then seek professional medical help.
But not before.
I am technically a professional medical.
Or legal.
Yeah, but not before
going to the
Patreon website and pledging.
Even £1 a month will sit in the bank account because we don't really know how to access it.
No, Dan, don't know how to access it.
I
don't even know how much money is in there at the moment.
Sorry, Graham, we keep on interrupting you. I feel that we should let you do your spiel properly, and then I'll do a counter-argument from a socialist perspective.
But before we go, how about we give our patrons B names?
What?
So I'm going to give you their name, and you have to give them a name as if they were a bee.
What? I've completely lost what's going on here.
This is how podcasts work. Podcasts, you Patreon them, and you get a bee name.
What?
What?
You get a bee name. This is... No. I can't be the only one who knows this.
Graham, have you been getting into the fermented honey again?
No, you pay money, you get a bee name. So,
Have the bees been paying you off?
He just explained, Chris. Come on, keep up.
Is it bee as in like a bee side, or is it bee as in like an insect?
Is a bee making you do this, Graham? If a bee is making you do this, blink twice.
It's a wasp that lives in his head, so I'm not sure what the agenda's going on here.
So,
to throw us off the scent.
What is a... Who's got a good bee name for mega slippers?
Buzz.
Buzz? Okay.
No.
Well, Dan's won this game.
What about mega buzzers?
No, just Buzz.
Just Buzz. Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm. I think we should workshop this.
A bee name, please, for James.
You're not meant to say his last name.
Why? It says so on the relationship manager.
Why have you got a relationship manager?
I don't know. We've got a relationship manager. It's when we manage our relationships and our patrons.
James, so when you sign up to a Patreon, it says like the podcast can just use whatever name freely.
Yeah, probably.
It's like when you submit art to a competition. They own that art forever.
No, you can be anonymous.
We own their names, Dan.
Because
we totally do. Every time he signs his name, James, he's going to have to pay his royalties.
Yeah, that's true. But luckily, it's Chip and Pin these days, so he's found a little.
Yeah,
David, he hasn't put his name on. He's put Mega Slippers. So I can't really reveal his name. But James, he's happy for it to be there. He hasn't put a picture of him. He's put a picture of a cat, so I can't reveal what he looks like.
We can reveal he used to live in Crawley.
I mean, you can reveal what he's looked like, what he looks like, because you've met him. But
a bee name, but I was drunk.
Zub.
It was kind of like Richard Hughes, but younger and a slightly thinner. Better looking. And a lot thinner.
Gosh. Wow.
A bee name for Beth.
I think I'm just going to cut this entire section out of the podcast.
It's poor, isn't it? I mean, this is
even by our usual standards, this is reaching.
I like puns.
Patrons hear this and they think, "Holy fucking!
I want
shit,
to be in
I
on that.
Get me a bee name." Yeah.
So I like bees. I like puns.
I hate bees.
I feel like most podcasts just read out the names of their supporters.
Yeah, as bees.
Why can't we do them as stars?
Shut up, Daniel.
Sorry, I mean, I can't do them as stars. You know,
okay, what about wasps?
You might be able to.
I'll let you have wasps.
I don't want wasps.
They're going in the bin with you.
So why have you chosen bees in particular?
I refuse to answer any more questions on the subject.
You have plagiarism
from another podcast.
Okay.
Definitely isn't. I thought of it first. I just haven't done it until now.
Okay, well, I would like the opportunity to go away and think about these bee names.
Okay,
well, and
it will be the same three Patreons.
Yeah, we're never going to get any more. That's fine. That gives us a lot of opportunity to come up with insect-based
high-quality bee names. I'm going to call Mega Slippers Thorax.
That is an insect bit, isn't it?
Mm. It's not particularly original, though.
No, I mean, he came up with it himself.
Yeah.
He didn't, though.
Right.
Can I go to bed?
You're the one that's keeping us here, so...
Adam, play the music. Yeah.